And now time to look through the window of baseball for True and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce Jenkins, welcome back to the Bay Area.
Thanks, Marty. Yeah, it's great to be back. I don't think I'll be going back to Cleveland unless there's a game 8.
It does end. It will end tomorrow. The train will come to the station tomorrow.
Yes, that's a good thing. And you know, there's nothing better than a game 7, whether it's the baseball or the NBA or the Stanley Cup. It's just should be quite a night.
Yeah, and what happens in a game 7? The one standout person is immortalized forever. Not necessarily the team, but it's the Bill Mazeroski. It's the it's that one person that makes it happen that you'll always remember. And that, I think that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It could be Festus Ezeli with the big tip-in, you know. Or
come on, what about
Matthew Dellavedova? You know?
North Carolina State and Houston, remember caught the missed shot and just put it in?
Yeah, Valvano, yeah. Who was that, Charles? Trying to think who put that
ball
in.
We know who it is. We can remember him. But that's what you remember from the game.
Yeah, exactly. It was the guy threw up an air ball, and the teammate went up and put it in. Just unbelievable.
All right. Hey, a couple of things. Last night I went to the San Rafael Pacifics game, and I got to see the computer umpire. Eric Burns was the real umpire, which was hysterical in itself. But I got to see the whole thing, and Bruce, I want to tell you, I'm with you. After about 4 or 5 minutes, I didn't even think that there was a computer umpire.
No.
Eric made the calls instantaneously.
Right.
And you just lost complete track of the red light in the outfield. I'm with you. I don't see a problem with it. I really don't.
No. I think people think there's going to be some kind of, R2-D2 robot out there, or no umpire at all. And, in fact, the ump's still there. He's getting the scientific call, through his earphones. And he's it's a ball or a strike. And yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you think so. I had the exact same experience, except I was sitting next to Eric. He was looking at the computer. He wasn't the actual umpire, but he's a huge proponent of this thing. And I really think that all skeptical fans really ought to take a look at this if they get a chance, because it's not a big deal, and it's a huge improvement over the widely varying strike zones of so many umpires around the bigs.
Yeah, and what they had was, of course, the red light in the outfield when it is a strike. But if you swing and miss at a pitch that is not in the strike zone, of course, it counts as a strike, but the red light doesn't come on. So it lets you know that you didn't swing in a strike. If you foul
that
a ball,
if
you foul a ball off and the red light doesn't come on, then you know the pitch. There's no turning around to the umpire and say, where was it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you definitely get an idea. And there were a couple of times when the pitcher looked in on a very close pitch like he could do something, and Burns sort of flipped his hand to the side like it was outside or inside or something like that.
Yeah, if people say they're going to miss the conflict, I don't miss when a hitter turns around and fires his bat down, or maybe gets kicked out of the game, I don't miss that at all.
No.
I won't miss that at all. I mean, and there's still going to be, arguments going on between the managers and players and for different reasons. But this thing, I just think it's really wonderfully streamlined. It's really ready to go.
Yeah.
It'll probably take 68 years to implement it, but as Major League Baseball doesn't always move too quickly, but you never know.
No, in 1948, they wanted to have a bell on the bases. When you touch the base, the bell would go off, and it took them 70 years to figure out that they could do a replay. So
yeah.
That's the way it is. All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. But, yeah, I was very impressed. Burns did a complete pirouette and a backflip when he punched somebody out. But the interesting thing was you don't have to stand up and really crouch into the strike zone to see the pitch. So for the umpire, Burns was sort of like sitting almost like a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He got comfortable. And it was interesting to see that part, too. But as soon as the pitch crossed the plate, he had something in his ear that told him. And also immediately on the scoreboard, the light went on. If it was and there was Bruce, after 5 minutes, I'm telling you, I forgot that it was even happening. So
I'm really delighted to hear that. We had the exact same reaction then.
Yeah. And also it's fun being out at that ballpark.
Sure.
It sort of comes alive. You drive past it 3 hours earlier and it looks like a little park that kids are going to run around and dogs are going to chase Frisbees. And then at 7 o'clock, it turns into a beautiful minor league park and all the games and fun of minor league baseball. Mike Shapiro's done a great job, and They've got a wonderful announcer, Vinny Longo, who I sat with last night. And I don't know. I had a good time. It was fun.
Yeah, Mike Shapiro worked for the Giants for a long time. He really knows what he's doing, and you know, you're not going to get better baseball weather than Marin County, in this time of year.
Yeah, and Aaron Miles was the manager of the Pittsburgh Diamonds, so he was there. And Matt Cavanaugh is here, a De La Salle graduate and catcher. Yeah. So it was fun. All right, let's move on. Sergio Romo last night throws an inning down at San Jose. You know, it's this whole bullpen thing, Bruce. Everyone says make trades, make trades. You can't make trades until you know what you got.
Yeah.
And the Giants have the luxury of this lead, and they can take their time. Romo pitches for San Jose, pitches an inning. He strikes out Puig, who's on a rehab, and as Andy Bagley told us, Puig was the beer batter.
Imagine, like, wandering by the ballpark. Yeah, you know, I'll go in and catch a couple innings. Next thing you know, you're watching Romo face Puig.
as the beer batter.
Yeah, I mean, what a thing. That's a great baseball thing. Yeah, I guess his velocity was down. Somebody emailed me with some readings, you know, but he threw a dandy 86-mile-an-hour slider, the guy said. I'm not sure if that was the pitch he got Puig on, but just to know he can still snap off that thing as he rehabs, you know, it's encouraging. So, like you say, I mean, you know, when it comes to all these guys, Strickland and Law, and I think they know what they have in Osich, but, you know, Guerin, and by the All-Star break, I think they'll have a much better idea of what they have, and then at that point you can make a more reasonable, something that's been thought out, you know.
Yeah, I think so, and also you don't have to make a move until July, you know.
Yeah.
There's always going to, you can always...
Yeah, I meant the trading deadline, not the All-Star break. Yeah, deadline.
You can always find relievers, believe me, you know, they're always going to be out there. But, you know, this is interesting. Phil Rogers was on with us earlier, and, you know, he's boy, having, it's like catnip for him, you know, with what's going on in Chicago, just to listen to him. But can it stay like this? Because as I said to the guys before you came on, you know, things are going to change. We never, you know, never goes true to form the whole year, but it's tough to see Washington or the Cubs or maybe even the Giants getting knocked out. Now, I guess the Dodgers, Urias was great last night, and Kershaw.
Yeah.
Maybe if they get another starter, they can put real pressure on the Giants. But this thing looks like it's almost too true to form.
Yeah, it's a little unsettling to kind of know who's in the playoffs, you know, now in the month of June. But I mean, Urias was great again, and now I'm reading he's going to get maybe one or two more starts, and they'll shut him down for a while. So I mean, I don't think the Giants are going to have to worry about him, which is a good thing because he is really good.
Yeah.
He's getting better with every start. But I mean, the Cubs are obviously in. I think, you know, Washington and like you say, and the Giants. It's just hard to imagine them not getting in there. For, you know, for Cubs fans, I mean, I'm not going to take the Pete Rose says, well, they're going to screw it up somehow. I mean, that's what every Cubs fan has to worry about. You know, they can win the division by 23 games and then lose, you know, in the first round horribly somehow. But I mean, just to get there, and what a great watchable team that is. That's. And they've got a real camaraderie. Scott Miller wrote a great piece about all the stuff that they do, and Jason Hayward wanted to do something for David Ross, who's 39. He's about to retire. He's got a wife, two kids, and a newborn. And Jason Hayward arranged for on Jason Hayward's tab for David Ross to have a big hotel suite on the road every time, everywhere they go.
Wow,
it's on me, man. I mean, you know, that's fantastic stuff. And incidentally, the Giants drafted Jason Hayward's brother, so let's hope that character runs through the family.
Really? And he likes a single room, I'm told.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Hey, Phil Rogers was on, as I say earlier, and a good friend of yours, MLB.com, and talked about your book. And you and I have not talked about it, and it's got rave reviews. It's been all over Twitter. Tell the fans about it.
Geez, Phil Rogers mentioned that?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he went on. He opened the show with it. He says, tell Bruce, and, you know, I hear he's got a book, and tell Bruce I can't wait, and it's terrific and all that.
Oh, well, it's called Shop Around. Growing up with Motown in a Sinatra household, my dad, Gordon Jenkins, was a very prominent musician who cut 8 albums with Sinatra as the band leader and arranger. They were very close, and my dad worked with basically everybody in the business, and I grew up in the 60s, you know, hearing Motown and Stax and all kinds of R&B music that really hit home for me and kind of changed my life. And Steve Kettman, who runs Wellstone Publishing, who published Dusty Baker's book called Kiss the Sky, This is a series called How Music Changed My Life. Dusty's was the opener, and I'm hitting second. I'm laying down a bunt here. we'll see who hits third, but I had a lot of fun doing it. I credit Steve Kepman for you know, talking me into it and letting me tell some stories about growing up with Motown. I did a lot of research into Motown and Stax and Otis Redding and all the backup guys from Motown. I learned an awful lot, and Steve Cropper and all these great musicians, and tried to get it all in there. It's just a mini book. You can read it in about 2 hours, I think.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Oh, very good. And where do you get it, Bruce?
Well, Amazon.com has a real nice presentation. You can if you deal with Amazon, that's a no-brainer. Apparently, it's going to be in bookstores as well. You can email me, but I think Amazon's an awfully good way to go. I'm going to be at Copperfields in San Rafael a week from tomorrow, Sunday the 26th at 2 o'clock. I will not be reading from my book. That strikes me as like really pretentious. Hey, here I am, and let's read from me. But I'll be there to sign books and talk about it if anybody's interested out in San Rafael next Sunday. But yeah, it was a really fun, different thing, and I had a great time doing it.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, well, good. I'm glad that we could talk about it. Yeah, Phil opened the show with it today, and
what a thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that. Hey, over at the Coliseum today, number 55 is pitching. How about that?
Jeez, so much great stuff going on now, isn't there? I can't wait for that. I've got a lot to catch up on here. I'll probably be sitting down to that tape of that around dinner time, which is perfect. Get a little cocktail going watching Tim Lincecum pitch. It doesn't get much better than that. It'd be tough to get used to the man in red. I think there'd be several starts before I get over that, but I'm rooting for him in a huge way. He's such a great guy, likable guy. You know, who doesn't around here? Who doesn't remember Lincecum as providing some of the greatest moments of their sporting lives?
And what a comeback, really. You know, hip surgeries.
Jeez.
Come on. And then to be, remember Bo Jackson coming back, and he could hardly run. But Lincecum looks like, you know, the old Lincecum.
It's amazing. I mean, all I've seen is, the tape of when he worked out in Scottsdale, you know, throwing in shorts off a mound there.
Right.
But you could tell right then that it was, if it was in, a silhouette where you couldn't see any features, but you could see the body, you'd know for sure that was Tim Lincecum, the same delivery. And, he's a phenomenal athlete, really very special athlete, like gymnastic type of athlete. And apparently he's got all his faculties. I read somewhere where he can still like walk on his hands 20 feet and then 20 feet back to you. So that's pretty limber.
Well, I want to see him do an Ozzie Smith. Let him come out and do the cartwheel to start. And then if you're a hitter and the pitcher comes out and does a cartwheel, you got to say, I'm not digging in. This is like Rube Waddell chasing the fire truck, or something.
Yeah,
like
this is like a Bill Veeck kind of thing. It's really fun.
Very good. All right, great to talk to you. I'm glad you're home safely. And I know that's it for the traveling, at least in the basketball. But we're on early tomorrow, and we'll get your prediction tomorrow, what you think's going to happen.
All right, great. Look forward to it, Marty. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure. All right.